Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We have a good number. It's good to see you all. If you would open your Bibles this morning to the book of James. To the book of James we're going to be looking. That was in our Bible reading for this past week. A very short book, our letter. And so many wonderful things in it, and so many things that that we can learn from. And really, I was trying to think of what's the theme of the book of James, right? What is it all about, right? When you kind of go through, because it talks about a lot of different subjects, a lot of different things. And really, I think it all boils down to it's talking about a faith, the faith that works, okay? And the faith that works is the faith that obeys, right? The faith that just does what God wants. And now you think about James, as someone says, it's one of the most practical books. You know, we say that a lot in the New Testament. Practical books. What does that mean? Well, I think it addresses where we live, okay? And it addresses how we live our lives from day to day. You stop and think about this. There's very little of Christianity that has to do with the rules of worship. Right? You know, we understand, well, we come together, we come to worship, and we come to this, you know, we talk about, well, we're going to pray, we're going to sing, right? And we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and we're going to do these acts of worship, we're going to preach and teach, you know, and those things. But how do we live? Okay, when we leave the building, how are we going to live? How are we going to live our lives, right? That's what James is about, practical living. Okay, the faith that works in our lives. Christianity is centered around a way of living. Okay, it's how we live our lives. So what I want to do is just, I pick some things out from the book, okay, and we don't have time to go through everything, can't talk about everything this morning, but I want to pick out some things to think about to help us from the book of James. Practical Christianity, right? A faith that works. Well, the first thing we're going to see from the first chapter, actually the first two are in the first chapter, but I'm going to say number one is you need to be quick and you need to be slow. Okay? You need to be quick and slow. So what are you talking about? You can't be, yeah, you can. Just wait. Hear me out. Let's read. Okay, James 1, 19 and 20. James 1, 19 beginning. This you know, my beloved brethren. This you know. You already know this. Okay, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. This is one of the passages. We teach a class at the prison, and it's one that we have a list of about 13 different classes that we can teach, okay, at the prison. Well, the one that is the head or the captain over all of those, they pick, and you know what? They pretty much told us they want us to teach two or three classes. And one of those classes is managing my anger. Okay, this is one of the first passages we talk about in that class that God wants us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, or slow to anger. Okay, it's very important that, because if you are quick to anger, you're quick to lash out, you're going to have problems. And most of the guys that sign up for our class, guess what? They had problems. And that's why they're in the place where they're in right now. That's why they're serving time where they're serving time. Because they were quick in the wrong things. A Christian should be quick to hear. Okay? As we've said this so many times, right? God gave us two ears, only one mouth. So we ought to be hearing twice as much as what we're saying. Okay, but the problem is we want to talk. We think we know it all, right? We think we've got the answers. And so we're quick to jump back. And if somebody says something to us, they're wrong, we're right, so I'm going to jump on that, right? I'm going to jump on that and say something. We've got to be careful. Jumping to conclusions without all of the facts, it will often leave us embarrassed and guilty of sin. We better be careful. So James gives us the practical lesson, the practical warning. You be quick at something, you be quick to hear. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, this idea of anger and things, it's not just unique to James here that he talks about in the New Testament. There are many passages we can turn to, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26 and 27, someone said, well, there's nothing wrong with anger in and of itself, right? God gets angry, Jesus got angry, that's right, they got angry, okay? But the point is, you've got to control it, okay? And if you're quick to jump to it, you're not going to be achieving the righteousness of God. That's what it says there in verse 20 of James 1. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Those two verses right there are very important to us. You can be angry and yet do not sin. Okay? And do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, guess what? In the wintertime, you've got less time to be angry than you do in the summertime. Okay? Right now, you've got less time because the days are shorter. And he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So if you're getting angry during the day, you better get rid of it. Okay? You better get rid of it. The point of the passage is don't hold on to it. Don't let it consume you. Don't let it become a part of you, because guess what? It's going to build. And when I'm talking this in the class, in the prison, all the guys looking at me, you know what? When I'm saying it, it'll build. They're all going, yeah, I know. I mean, I've heard so many of them say, yeah, you're right. It'll build to the point. When I explode, and guess what? That's why I'm in here. And one guy literally said that. He goes, that's why I'm in here. That's why. I just blew it. I didn't control myself. And that's why I'm here. Okay, listen. Christians, we need to listen to God. Listen to His Word. Don't let the sun go down your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. If you allow your anger to stay inside of you and it just consume you, and you don't get rid of it, okay, and you just get more and more, and it just builds and builds, you're giving the devil an opportunity. You're giving him a place in your heart. And let me tell you what, you're not going to like the results of that. If you don't believe me, just ask Cain in Genesis. Remember at the very beginning, the first murder that took place? Ask Cain what happened to him when he didn't control himself. He didn't control his anger, his jealousy, his wrath. Look what happened. We need to learn to take into consideration other perspectives, other motives, and other information. Brethren, we have got, as Christians, we are to have love in our hearts. Okay, it's the opposite of anger. If you want something to grow in your heart, you've got to have love to grow in your heart. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the great chapter of love. Look at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Okay? This is the opposite of the anger thing there, right? Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. See, that's what love is. That's what the Christian is to be. But if we are quick to anger, Okay, we're quick to jump to conclusions. We're quick to think the worst, right? And every time, and you can always tell, right? And we've got to be careful as Christians, okay? We've got to be careful that we always think the worst in people, because that's what the world thinks. The world always is the ones that jumps to conclusions. The world's the one that says, well, you know what? It's out now, so they're guilty. Right? Whatever it is, they're out. Well, they did it. Okay? And so they're the ones that jump to the evil. Christians are to be the opposite of that. Okay? And we've got to be careful in that. And so be quick to hear. Hear everything. Okay? Hear all the facts before you make your decision. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Okay, so there's the first thing from James. Be quick and slow. Number two, we need to be a doer. Be a doer. Okay? We read this, and Sean read this for us this morning, but we'll go back and read these verses again. Verse 22 through 25 of James 1. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. I want to urge you as Christians to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I've got to say this because it did my heart so much good yesterday. We were a little late getting there, but when we got to the Black's house and I saw all the cars and I saw all the people in there working and doing things, it just, you know, it just gives you that feeling, doesn't it? Being doers of the word. Okay? When you see someone that has a need, we do something for them. We do something to help them. Faith that saves is the faith that obeys. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, in verse 14 beginning, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. In John chapter 13, what Jesus said, He tells them about a new commandment that's not really a new commandment, but listen to what He says. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. I guess the new commandment part of that would be as the way that He loved them, right? But He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. As Brother Bunting was here and he was telling us, people in the community are going to see something different about the people of God. They should see something different about the people of God. When they see that we are loving one another, they're going to know something. Okay? That's how they're going to see the love of God, by how we love one another. Be doers. be doers of the word. There's going to be we're going to have a lot of opportunities. Okay, we got a lot of opportunities now. We have a lot of opportunities in the future to help one another. Okay, and do things for one another. Okay, let's all be doers. Let's be the kind of people that God wants us to be as we are doing. Number three, you need to be the same to all. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, listen to what James says here. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you, sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made a distinction or distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? There's that jumping to conclusions again. Looking at someone's appearance, oh, they got to be evil. Look what they're wearing. Look how they're dressed. Right, look at this. Okay? He says, have you not become judges with evil motives? Now look at the next verse. Listen, my beloved brethren. Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Okay, remember now, guys, James is talking to Christians. He's having to tell Christians not to show partiality. He's having to tell Christians not to be prejudiced. And the answer is yes. He's having to tell Christians that. There was a problem then, and there's a problem now with that. And so we've got to be careful, brethren. We've got to be the same to all. There is no place in the life of a Christian for being prejudiced. It's a failure of the most basic of Christian commands, and that is to love one another. It doesn't say love one another of the same race or of the same color skin or of the same background or whatever. It says love one another. And that's for all. We must treat all people with love, respect, decency, and as people who are created in the image of God. God created all in His image. All are made in His image. And brethren, as Paul told the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So brethren, we need to listen to James. We need to listen to these things. Be quick and slow. Be a doer. And be the same to all. The next one is found in the third chapter. And that's, I just put on there, I couldn't think of a fancy way to say it. Just be careful what you say. Okay? Be careful what you say. James chapter 3. In verse 4, it says, look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. There ain't really a whole lot to add to that, is there? They just ought not be that way. Okay, you should not be trying to bless God on Sunday and cursing your brother on Monday. Okay, or your fellow man on Monday. You don't do that. Be careful what you say. And you're to be the same to all, as we said earlier. The tongue, brethren, is a fire. Notice it says it's full of deadly poison. What do you think some of the poison is of the tongue? You ever thought about that? What kind of poison is the tongue? Well, let me give you just a few things to think about. If I can read my writing. It's getting rough, Marcia. Slander. Slander. Abuses. Lying. Misrepresentation. You ever misrepresented yourself by what you said? Give a false impression? Envy. Anger, we've already talked about. These are all products, or can be products of the tongue. And they're full of deadly poison. We've got to be careful, brethren. James 1, you go back to the first chapter, verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, okay, you don't control your tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. That's what it says. You're deceiving your own heart, and your religion is worthless. If you cannot control your tongue, your religion is worthless. There may be some exceptions to this rule, okay? But as a general rule, would it not be best to say nothing if we could not say something nice to one another? I came across this, I believe it was Eleanor Roosevelt, who said that great minds talk about ideas. Average minds talk about events, while small minds talk about people. What do we talk about? If we're just talking about people, that's the greatest thing we do. Better re-examine. So, be careful what you say. Let's go on to the next point. In chapter 4 of James, he says, be watchful of the world. Christians, be watchful of the world. Verse 4 of chapter 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Do you notice the word that he says there? Adulteresses? Okay, some translations say adulterers and adulteresses. But what's the point that he's trying to make? When you became a Christian, you're married in a sense. You become married to God. You become married to Jesus. And he says, guess what? If you're trying to hold on to the things of the world, you're committing adultery. That's what he says. I mean, that's about as plain as you can get it. You're having an affair with the world, and you're supposed to be with God. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Brethren, we cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of God at the same time. We've got to be careful. To be in step with God, now listen to me. To be in step with God, it's gonna mean that we must be out of step with the world. You cannot be in step with God and be in step with the world at the same time. Because the world loves evil. The world loves sin. Okay? When I say the world, I'm not talking about, okay, pay attention. When I say the world, when we say the world here, we're not saying we go hate people. We're not talking about people. We're talking about the things in the world. Okay, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, those things, 1 John 2:15, love not the world or the things in the world. We cannot be in step with those things and be in step with God at the same time. Okay, and so we've got to watch ourselves. Be watchful of the world. Just one example. Okay? One example of this that we have to watch out for. Seeking success in this world. Right? We all want to, you know, we all want to where we're working at, or we want to be successful. We want to climb up the ladder, you know, and all these things and do all, we want to do these things. But at the same time, what do most people out in the world do in order to rise up? And the answer is they'll do whatever it takes, right? If it takes me stepping on you to go up one, I'm going to do it, right? If it takes me having to lie sometimes, okay, to cook the books, as some Bible would say, right? We got to do this, then I'm going to do it because I've got to succeed. I've got to get this. I can't let, you know, someone else, I can't let the competition get up, so we're going to have to make our product look better and sound better, so we'll lie about it. Okay, and we'll do this and that because it'll make it more sales. We'll make more money. We'll get raises, right? The boss will love us. And we'll just keep going. And so we've got to be careful that we do not compromise the Word of God, compromise our biblical principles that God has laid out for us to try to seek success in this world. God opposes the proud. He tells us we cannot serve God and money. Matthew 6 and verse 24. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. So be watchful of the world, the ways of the world, worldly habits. Okay? Worldly habits. Be careful. Okay? Just because the world dresses a certain way doesn't make it right. Maybe that's acceptable, you know, in our society, you know, to do this and that. It doesn't make it right. The way the world dresses, the way the world talks, the way the world acts, all of those things, we've got to be careful, be watchful of those things. Because God comes first. Be watchful of the world. And the last thing for this morning is found in James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And I just put, be patient. In James chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Our lives here are not very long. Whether the Lord comes back while we're living or we pass away, guess what? The Lord is coming and it's near. Okay, the day of the Lord is near. Are we watchful? Are we patient? Are we enduring under stress? You see, accounts are not always settled as quickly as we sometimes wish, right? God is faithful, though, to do what is right with you. God is going to do what's right. His will is going to win out in the end. So whether we're having to go through trials and tribulations and things that are happening right now in the world, we must not give up. We must hold on. Okay, we must hold on. Paul says this to the Galatian brethren. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. If we do not grow weary, we will reap. Don't give up. Okay? Don't give up. Paul told the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There it is there, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Trust the Lord, submit to Him, be patient, don't give up. Don't give up. God is faithful to do what is right with you. Let's be sure, brethren, that we don't reduce Christianity to a list of doctrinal rules that revolve around what we do in worship and that we don't think about anything else. Well, you know, I come to worship and I do this and we're doing this and that. We're doing it the right way, right? And then we go out and we just live any way we want to live. And that's not going to cut it. It's not going to work. Listen to James. Okay, practical Christianity. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Christianity is a lifestyle. A daily effort at imitating Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's a daily life of trying to be like Jesus. Trying to be like Him. Let's all work at being a better reflection of Jesus every day. Thank you for your attention this morning. You're in the audience and you're not a Christian. You need to be like Jesus, right? And part of being like Jesus is doing what He did. Imitating Him. Following Him. Okay? He submitted to the will of the Father. And that's exactly what He wants you to do. Submit to the will of the Father. Trust and obey Him. We're about to sing the song, Standing on the Promises of God. Are you standing on the promises of God this morning? If not, if we can help you in any way in becoming obedient to Jesus Christ or turning back to Him this morning, we urge and beg you to come while we stand and sing.